Some introductions real fast. Last week, Daryl spoke about God's faithfulness. Today, the elders have asked me to come here and teach from the book of Isaiah about the Most High God and who is holy and who delivers holiness to us. So I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, not the whole thing, just part of it. And what I'd like you to do is to stay seated and to try to imagine this in your mind. Do the best job you can picturing this as accurately as you can. Don't make stuff up. Don't add things in. Just what the words actually say here, just let that form in your mind. You can close your eyes, stare at the ceiling, stare at the floor, whatever you'd like to do, but just quiet down and form this in your mind. So here's how this goes. Chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go." Okay. Do you think your imagination captured that all really well and really clearly and really accurately and perfectly? I ask this because, like, honestly, what are the chances that a one-time reading of these eight verses is going to provide you or me or anybody with any actual good understanding of a Bible passage? It's helpful. But based on a one-time reading, like, do you really know what a seraph is? Do you know why God is called the Lord of hosts or what unclean lips actually means? Do you understand how a burning coal from the altar took away Isaiah's guilt and atoned for his sin? And what does atonement mean anyway? So I ask these questions because it actually takes a lot of Bible study to answer questions like that and to understand a portion of the Bible. So this morning, we're only looking at eight little verses of a portion of the Bible. And just like realistically, there's no chance that one sermon a week is going to be enough, which is why it's so necessary for us all to be reading our Bibles regularly. That at least would give us familiarity with the words and concepts, even if we don't know what they mean yet. And I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm glad to be speaking to you this morning because so many of you really do read your Bibles regularly. Like, it's really great to be able to speak to this group of people who actually have good Bible understanding, read their Bibles, care about that, and try to understand. So I'm going to do something a little bit different. So I'm going to reread this again. So I haven't really taught on it yet, but reading it a second time, just close your eyes, same thing. I'm going to read it again and let your minds see if you're going to correct anything in your imagination, because it's a really good skill and it's really a good sign of humility to be able to say, I pictured it this way and now I've realized something and I'm going to picture it a different way. So let's try that again. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he, God, said, Go. So let's take a moment to place this little piece of scripture into history. So first of all, this is a real account of a real moment of a real man really named Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of God, and Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is the longest prophetic book that we've got in the Bible. If you ever read it, it's long. So the book of Isaiah, it starts with information that's helpful to us in understanding Isaiah chapter 6. So let me just read the very first sentence of the book of Isaiah. It says this, The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So the whole book of Isaiah is the vision that Isaiah received from God, and that vision came in pieces. We're looking at one of those pieces this morning, but the whole thing came in pieces, and it came over the reign of four different kings, one after the other. That's a long time. That's a lifetime. We have it all in one book, but Isaiah got it bit by bit by bit over time. And just to understand how all this fits in, so it mentions King Uzziah. So you know the first king was Saul, and then the second king was David. Well, Uzziah was the 10th after David, and then there were eight more before all of Israel was deported off into Babylonian exile. So King Uzziah is kind of in the middle here. So what does all this have to do with holiness? Well, I'm kind of setting it up, because now we have to look a little bit wider into Israel, Jesus, and the church. So go way back in your minds to the Israelites. They have been freed from slavery, they have been led out of Egypt, and now they're at Mount Sinai. Okay, it's a destination point. And God said to Moses, here's a quote, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is God's offer to them. And then all the people, here's another quote, all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So they all, it's from Exodus 19, so they all the Israelites, all together made a promise to God that they would become a holy nation. They failed. They failed just a few days later when they made the golden calf. They failed by demanding a king. The kings failed. The people failed to be holy. And this failure went on for generation after generation, hundreds of years. And that brings us up to this chapter 6 in Isaiah. The Lord, however, did not fail. The Lord did not forget. And the Lord did not undo his promise. The Lord was patient. He gave warning upon warning through his prophets. Like, there's a lot of prophetic books in the Old Testament. That's kind of the point. God's saying, you've gone the wrong way. Repent of your wicked ways and come back. I'll take you back. You can be my people. But they didn't. They made a promise as a people at Mount Sinai, and they didn't fulfill it. So why am I saying all this? Because the vision Isaiah received here in chapter 6, it marks a kind of turning point in the history of the nation of Israel. So again, we're reading from chapter 6, but in chapter 9, so just three chapters later, the Lord starts to unfold his prophecy to Isaiah, and this is going to be very familiar. Isaiah, just a few chapters later, writes this, and it comes from God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah didn't know he was prophesying about Jesus, but we know. We also know from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus did fulfill the law. He did fulfill the prophets. The Lord God kept his promise because the holy nation did come from the Israelites. The holy nation did come from a descendant of King David, because the holy nation came through Jesus, who was the one Israelite and descendant of King David who fulfilled the law perfectly. The holy nation God desired is now built in Jesus. A rather new member spoke this morning. The church is populated by all those who have received salvation from Jesus. To all of us who have given our lives to Jesus, we are part, and this is what the Apostle Peter says, we're part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once we were not a people, but now we in Christ are God's people. So let's move back to Isaiah chapter 6, and I want to focus on who spoke, who they spoke to, and what they said. Okay? So it goes like this. A seraph spoke, Isaiah spoke, the seraph spoke. God spoke, Isaiah spoke, God spoke in this little section. So, first one seraph spoke saying this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So Lord of hosts, why not just say God? Well, the Lord of hosts is the God who led the hosts of Israel out of Egyptian slavery. It is the God of Israel in this vision. Isaiah definitely knew that. Then Isaiah spoke, and I was trying to picture this. I think he's just speaking to himself. He doesn't know what to do. He finds himself here in this vision, and he says, "Woe is me, for I'm lost. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah is struck with his sinfulness. He was absolutely overtaken with despair at ever being spiritually clean enough to be with the Lord. Isaiah knew. God didn't even have to tell him. Isaiah knew he was disqualified from holiness. And Isaiah was so totally overcome that he didn't seem to know what to do. He's kind of mostly just speaking to himself about himself, like, "Whoa, it's me, this is bad." Like, he's overtaken, flustered. We've all been in a situation like this. Just think of the last time that happened to you, and I think that's what's happening to him times 1,000, because he's actually standing in front of God. So then mercifully, the seraph spoke to Isaiah and said this, "Behold, this burning coal from the altar has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Wow. Now this word, behold, I think it's the one I want to focus on. It's an old-fashioned word, whoever says that, but you got to understand how this went. So Isaiah's having his meltdown, and then the seraph's like, "Behold, snap out of it, man. Like, get a grip. Get out of your self-centeredness here." Because the seraph was bringing good news to Isaiah. Isaiah's guilt was going to be was taken away, and Isaiah's sin was atoned for. Stop it with the self-deprecation, whatever you want to call that. Now for Isaiah, this went as deep as his lips, his mouth, but for us in Jesus, this goes all the way into the deepest depths of our souls. It goes into all corners of our minds through our entire heart. In Jesus, our guilt is taken away in every way, and our sins are fully atoned for forever. We have way better than Isaiah got that day, and that changed his life. And I also want to say, just as an aside, if you believe that the God of the Old Testament is angry, he's looking for an opportunity to punish people for their sins, I really do hope you'll change your imagination about that one. Because we have to look at the way God did treat Isaiah. God was loving. He was merciful. He offered Isaiah atonement and freedom from guilt. God could have scolded Isaiah. He could have punished Isaiah. He could have done a whole lot worse. But instead, he offered atonement and freedom from guilt. And it got even better. The Lord spoke and said, the Lord spoke and said this, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" He kind of spoke it out like to everybody. He didn't like pick Isaiah and say this directly to him. He's not speaking directly to Isaiah just yet. Just says this out. There's Isaiah. There's a bunch of seraphim. I don't know who else is there. But God just says this, and he doesn't even say what it is. He just says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah spoke. Well, here I am. Send me. Isaiah immediately took the Lord up on his offer. If you read the text, there's no gap in time. It's like God spoke, Isaiah spoke. But it's the way Isaiah spoke that I think is the real mind blower. The Lord spoke, and Isaiah immediately interjected in the same manner that the seraph interjected Isaiah during Isaiah's meltdown. Here's what I mean by that. The way the seraph said, behold, like, come on, snap out of it, pay attention. That's similar to how Isaiah spoke to the Lord and said, here I am. It's like, I'm here. Look at me. I want to do this. That's extremely bold. That's extremely bold. He went from, I can't be here, I'm falling apart, woe is me, to waving his hands like, Lord, of all the people, beings here right now, look at me. I want to do this. It's a statement, I think, of how fully Isaiah did receive that freedom from guilt and how fully Isaiah believed the atonement God gave him. It changed his life to the point where he could then say, hey, God, look over here. When a moment before he couldn't even look at himself. And surely that would have been a terrible error if the God of the Old Testament was angry and just looking to destroy people. What a lie that is. Then the Lord spoke to Isaiah. This time he did speak directly to Isaiah, and he said, go. And then he gave Isaiah a message to deliver the people. If you want to know what that is, just read the rest of chapter 6 of Isaiah. The Lord didn't mention Isaiah's uncleanness. He didn't mention his guilt, didn't mention his sinfulness either. Isaiah said, send me. God said, go. The Lord's forgiveness was real, and the Lord's removal of guilt was real. Neither the sin nor the guilt were the point. The sin and the guilt were in the way of the point. The point is, the Lord wanted relationship with Isaiah, and the Lord wanted to give Isaiah the choice to be involved with what the Lord was doing. Is it because Isaiah was such a great guy? Well, no. It's because God so loved the world. You know that verse, John 3:16. And the Lord had the same love in the Old Testament as he does today. So that really was a great day for Isaiah. But we have more and we have better than merely having our lips purified. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus have received full and total forgiveness and atonement from our sins. We have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. A coal touched Isaiah's lips. Jesus and the Holy Spirit did not take up residence in his heart. That's what we have, though. We have better. So those of us who have given our lives to Jesus are now part of God's kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus are now part of God's chosen race, royal priesthood, and we are part of God's holy nation. In Christ Jesus, we have the way to live holy lives that are pleasing to God and how we become a witness to the world. It is not our duty to have to behave with holiness. It is our privilege to live holy lives as a lifestyle of thanks to a great and loving God who desires eternal relationship with us in Christ. So, for those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, we get to live with holiness. And for those of you who have not yet given your life to Jesus, the offer is there for you too. I sincerely hope that you take up the Lord's offer. But for the rest of us, let's gladly live the holiness the Lord has delivered into our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Lord.